Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Remember all your combine?
So we have a combine stat for an outside linebacker, but the prize is offensive tackles jersey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure.
I'm not exactly sure why that is.
Yeah. I would have thought you would have had a sign.
Yeah, well.
A signed TJ Watt jersey, maybe.
Or Alex Highsmith.
Right. Yeah.
Whoever the winner is.
Maybe Nick Herbig.
They always have good prizes on this.
He's in a draft class. He's an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Combine stat that you were most proud of? Anything in particular? Or satisfying? I don't want to say proud, but or proud.
I think I'd probably say it was my short shuttle, the 5-10-5 shuttle. It was probably my – I felt like that was one that I did really well in because that was a sub-5 on that one. So that was probably – I think that one and maybe my 3-cone.
Yeah.
Because I really worked hard. Because the 3-cone – I mean, because like all of these – like there's a specific – choreography that's attached with each one outside of the broad jump and the high jump, their vertical. Like the other ones, there's order. So even for the 40, like how much depth you get on that first step and how many steps should it be from start to finish? Like almost like a 100-meter guy. Like you ask like Usain Bolts and all the guys in the world that run the 100-meter, like, I should be done in 32 steps. You know what I'm saying? And they're counting their steps and their turnover. Same thing is with that. Like, for the 5-10-5, when you start that shuttle, like, it's that big crossover. How many steps to get there so that you can maximize touching to then go again? And so I just remember rehearsing all those things. And for the L drill, it's to the cone 5 yards, back 5 yards, up and back around, make a figure eight, and how wide are you going to get on that figure eight, and then that tight 90-degree turn, which foot you need your outside foot to be back so you can turn back in. So those were the ones I really worked hard on, so those are the ones I was really proud of, and I ran those here at the combine. I did not run my 40 at the combine because that was last for us when we were going through all the drills. So we did all the other drills first. And then I pull my hamstring, and I'm like, yeah, no, that's not happening. I'm like, I'm not going to embarrass myself. And on turf, because it's old RCA Dome at the time.
Right, right,
it's
right.
It's not the better field condition, the more grabby stuff. And so you're wearing sneakers for all of these events back then.
Did you train for the 40?
I did.
Did you?
I did. And then it mattered none when I got to right on my pro day.
Pulled a little
Who was
hammer.
Faster, you or Ramon?
I'm definitely faster than Ramon.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You didn't nosebleed, though.
I definitely did not have a nosebleed. Definitely did not have a
nosebleed. If you missed yesterday's broadcast, at least when we were on, Max told the story. You were dead set. You were going to be a Philadelphia Eagle.
Yeah.
Right?
Because I had the meetings at Senior Bowl. I had the meetings at Combine. I had a private workout. I had another in-home visit, and they flew me to Philly. And I had and I watched Andy Reid,
right?
And Pete's. Yeah,
I
watched. You were already figuring out what, you know, which cheesesteak place you were going to go.
Exactly, which was my favorite. You know, am I going to defect from Geno's in passing and go? You know, I was where in town I wanted to live. But yeah, I thought I was going to be a Philadelphia Eagle because the Steelers, I had
barely talked to them. Right,
barely spoke to them. I spoke to them once, and then like I said, Coach Cower came to my pro day just for my weigh-in, and that was it. That's the last I saw Coach Cowan. I was like, he came in the weigh-in. I saw him nod his chin.
He come in to see you, not any other player?
No, I guess not. I guess not. He didn't draft anybody else from my squad that year. So that's why this combine, like all of this, you can never get in love with the guy that gets the most attention. Remember Kenny Pickett draft? Malik Willis. Remember how much time Coach Tomlin spent with Malik? He was talking to him during the pro day. They had dinner. They brought him up to Pittsburgh. He was a guy that they were talking to. Senior. I mean, everybody's like, oh, God, Malik Willis. He's going to come here. Where's Malik Willis now?
Well, I remember, you know, so I had heard that year at the Senior Bowl when I was down there that if Kenny Pickett is available, the Steelers will take Kenny Pickett. And I'm like, okay. So I wrote that at that point. If this Pickett's the guy, if he's there, the Steelers will take him. And then I fell into the the whole thing with.
Right, right.
And then you do your final mock drafts and everything, and quarterback lasting till 20 is rare.
Yeah.
Your top quarterback.
The first one.
The first one lasting that long.
And the next one lasts till the third round. Yeah, that's more rare.
It's just extremely rare. And so, you know, I ended up mocking Malik Willis to the Steelers because Pickett was gone.
Yeah, exactly. And it was one of those things that was crazy because you're like, there's no way. There's not. I mean, it is a thin quarterback class, but quarterback is still one of those constant every year needs.
Yeah, those guys go.
Yeah, and so for it to be that traditionally bad of a draft for quarterbacks was just unheard of. So you're right. You're like, well, we're going to take the number two quarterback, and it's obviously Malik, you know, Willis over Desmond Ridder at that point. And who? And then it was Kyle
Sam
Trask
Howell and
Sam Howell, like in Kyle Trask. I was like, it's like there's no way. I'm like, those three. It's like Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett, and Kenny's gone. So I was right there with you.
Yeah, and so much of it, you know, people talk, well, see, if they'd have taken Malik Willis, who knows? Situations matter so much of where the guy lands at. What's the nest like?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the book isn't written on those. I always bring up Geno Smith again with, you know, he was a bust in New York.
Yeah.
They couldn't wait to get rid of him. He goes to Seattle, and now he's
a new life.
He's a different
guy. He's a Seahawk.
Yeah.
He's a Seahawk. No, I mean, people don't even remember those Giants years off the top of their head. Like, they have to go back and really think about, dang, that's right, he did play for the Giants, and he was really bad with the Giants.
Yeah.
Because all they can think about, because of the success he's had with Pete Carroll, now we'll see, obviously, how that changes, you know, if Geno can continue that. But,
and
yeah,
Kurt Warner's the same way. You know, those guys, so much as the landing spot.
Giants again, right?
Yeah.
You're like, no. And, you know, you find a spot, and he had two great careers. I mean, so no one spot is perfect for a guy. And sometimes it takes that change of venue. I mean, look at Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Right? Who would have thought Baker was going to go right behind Tom Brady and still have success and play well? So, you know, you can't pour dirt on everybody because you never know what yesterday's trash is going to be today's treasure.
You know, and Max, the opposite, too, of what we talked about is thinking where you might be going is teams who think they're getting a guy, and that doesn't work out. And I bring that up because a month or so ago, I was talking with a guy who's a longtime NFL coach who was with the Packers. And the Packers are convinced in 2011 their guy is Cam Hayward. He's the Packer boy. They're getting him. And right before the Packers pick at 32, the Steelers at 30, I think it was 31.
Yeah.
Take Cam Hayward. And they're, you know, they're now flabbergasted because they think that's our guy, and the Steelers take him. And we hear, you know, the Cowboys were on the phone with Ryan Shazier, right?
Yeah.
When the Steelers took him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. When the Steelers took him. And so, yeah, that happens too.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, because, and so on the other side of it, before I got back with the Steelers, I was covering the Cardinals drafts. And I remember vividly the Patrick Mahomes draft. Cardinals are sitting at 15, and they're like, Patrick Mahomes is our guy. I talked to Byron Leftwich before that. Man, we're pulling the trigger if Pat's there. All right, cool. I can't wait. I'm on the airwaves doing the draft coverage. I'm like, boy. And then, boom, Kansas City jumps up two spots in front of them. They take him, and then the Cardinals end up with Hassan Reddick because they're like, That was our quarterback. That was our quarterback.
what happened?
What happened? And just think about that. Imagine Patrick Mahomes that went to the Arizona Cardinals.
Would he be the same guy?
Would he be that guy? Because he would have started immediately as opposed to sit behind Alex Smith.
And that's the thing about the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And that's why you got to give them props. They had a successful quarterback with Alex Smith, but that was their plan. They were looking to the future, and wow, did they make that right.
Yeah, so I mean, so it happens all the time. And that's why when we talk about this, are you looking for a guy to sit that can mature? Because you can get that potential 10, 15 years out of the guy by letting him set for a little bit. Sometimes you need a crock pot. Not everything's a microwave oven, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, let a guy sit, let him learn, let him adapt, let him get into his NFL body and his NFL mindset, because not every guy is built to go day one, play one, and start and go 18 years.
Look at Jordan Love. You know, Jordan Love's first couple of starts, they were spot starts in Green Bay, were not good.
No, not at all.
But as he played last year, he got better and better and better. And, you know, you wonder if he had done that out of the gate, would that have happened for him?
I'll tell you what, I couldn't be more impressed with that guy.
I love that kid,
unbelievable.
Man.
I never thought he was that good. He is a pure thrower of the football. He stands in that pocket, and, man, I'm very impressed with him.
So I had Jordan Love as a sophomore and a junior at Utah State. because I was doing Mountain West coverage. Yeah. And so Matt Wells was his head coach then at Utah State. And Matt Wells, great offensive mind, great offensive coordinator, didn't work out when he went to Texas Tech. But when I saw him as a sophomore, he was lights out. I was like, oh, my God, who is this kid?
Really?
Where'd he come from? I'm like, and so then sophomore year, junior year under Matt Wells, amazing. I'm like, this kid's going to be a bona fide first round pick. But then his senior year happened, Matt Wells leaves. He gets into a new system, looks terrible. I had him at LSU his senior year, and it didn't look like he knew how to throw a football. After watching this kid throw for over 4,000 yards the previous 2 years each year, and I was just like, man, if he gets in the right system, he's going to be okay. So I look at that, and I was just waiting for it because I had 4 Green Bay games last year. And so I was like, you saw the progression. I saw in the week before we played him, and they played against the Rams with Brett Rippon, and I was like, ah, that's a wash. And then the Steelers game, he was okay but couldn't get that last drive in.
Right, right.
And then by
but
the time,
you saw the skills, though.
I saw
that's
the skills.
That's what impressed me in that
building.
Steeler game. Yeah,
yeah, it was building. Yep. And then by the time I get to week 17 against the Bears,
well, yeah.
I was like, oh, my God.
Right,
I was like, this is the kid I remember from Utah State. And it wasn't just him. What I love what Gutekunst did.
They beat who they beat before that? Was it the Eagles or somebody? Was it a TV game? And
it was
really
a TV
impressive.
Game. Yeah, it was. I think it was the Eagles.
Yeah,
because the Eagles were on 4 out of 5 slide
at
that
right,
point.
Right.
But watching him and knowing that Gutekunst went and got all these young receivers to grow with him, and you saw them start to click into place.
They were the only offense last year that was younger than Pittsburgh.
Max, yeah,
Max,
exactly.
You probably know this answer. Do you know how many wide receivers they carry on their 53?
The Packers?
Yeah.
Eight. Yeah.
Eight.
Yeah. Because I have the depth charts in my closet.
Right, right. I mean, but that's the way they want to build their team, and they're going to build around their quarterback, and they're going to give him multiple options.
And they got they drafted 2 tight ends consecutively.
Yeah. Right.
Kraft and Musgrave.
Right.
They drafted last year 3 receivers 2
years
ago.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
3.
Yeah, 3. Because they're like, we're going to give you every offensive weapon.
One of these guys is going to work.
Yeah, got to be.
Maybe 2 of them. If all 3 hit.
Yeah, we're good. And now they probably need to go get a running back to kind of help Aaron Jones out because A.J. Dillon was just not that guy. He just wasn't big enough. But
and the Steelers have 4, and I don't really count what's-his-name, special teams guy, 13. Who am I talking about?
Yeah,
drawing a blank on him.
Tall guy. Tall guy.
Sorry. Miles Boykin.
Yes, yeah,
thank
there we
you,
go.
Miles
Boykin. Thank you.
Right, right, right. Sorry about that.
But yeah, I mean, it's crazy how you see those different things, and that's what it took. Going through it, because remember, early in the year, they were ready to just dump on the Green Bay Packers. You're so bad. How could you do this? That's why Aaron left. And now it's like, well, he did what Aaron didn't the previous year, because Aaron had to beat Chicago a year ago to get into the playoffs, and they didn't.
Didn't do it.
And they didn't do it. And he did it, and he did it in spectacular fashion. So I'm like, this is what sometimes you need those 3 or 4 years to sit. And you got to take a leap of faith and say, we'll give you all the weapons. Let's see if this works.
It's hard to do, though, in today's NFL because the contract situations.
Yeah.
You know, you draft a guy in the first round. You got 3 years, basically, to figure out what he is before you have to pick up the fifth-year
option. Yeah.
And that fifth-year option fully guarantees the contract. So, essentially, you're fully guaranteeing the last 2 years of the deal, which is a significant amount of money because that fifth-year guarantee is 20-plus million.
Yeah. And stuff. So that's why you draft 3 straight wide receivers. So you're like, okay, we at least got 3 years with these guys, if not 4.
And on top, of that, I like those 2 running backs, especially Aaron Jones. I always did. The Packers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. What? And so Aaron Jones, you know, he was Sean Coogler's running back in UTEP.
They drafted 3 running backs that year.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
right.
They didn't have a running back, so they took 3 of them. And he's the one that hit.
But I remember watching Aaron in college because it was him and then Will Hernandez was Cougs' guard. And Will Hernandez pulled on counter every play.
Really?
And Aaron Jones just followed Hernandez everywhere they went. I was like, oh, my God, this kid is – and then when he went to Green Bay, still been that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
they're big on multiple picks at the same position.
Yeah, because it's like, hey, listen, we throw enough at it, one of them's got to stick.
One of them's got to stick, yeah.
Yeah.
One of them's got to work.
But they use so many of those wide receivers, though, too. That's the other thing.
That's a lot of
carry that many. Yep.
Yeah, they carry them. And they're dressing 6 out of those 8 every week,
and not afraid to use any of them.
Yeah, yeah, no, and that's the one thing that was pretty fun to watch because it's like we're trusted to see, and they morphed as the games worked. I mean, I had them 4 times. They were a run-heavy team two of those games, and they were a pass-heavy team two of those games based on the personnel they were going against. So it was pretty spectacular. I think the Steelers have the same capability. I mean, we got a lot of tight ends that we can throw to. Now we just need to build up the base of the wide receiving core, and we have two phenomenal running backs that we love. So, I mean, as long as you continue in that same vein, like, let's give Kenny Pickett the resources to be successful and see what he can do, because you can get that type of production. It's not far-fetched.
You know, I always remember something Kevin Colbert said when people talk about, and you know, point number one, they never turn their back on a skilled player. One they like, they never turn their back on one. But two, Kevin Colbert's point always was, when you have guys like that who can change the game offensively, they become, they help the defense. So you don't necessarily maybe need a defensive player when you have a skilled player who can help produce more points and, you know, or maybe keep the defense off the field. And not saying, you know, you play one off the other, but there's a lot to that. And I think Green Bay kind of believes in that.
Yeah,
obviously.
No, because, I mean, when you think about it, you know, there's a reason why we say three phases of football, right? I mean, because each one feeds off the other. The longer an offense holds the ball, the fresher a defense is
right
to then attack. And the more pressure you put on the opposing offense to have to pass the football. That's what we always talk about. How do you take a phase away from an offensive squad? Well, you know, or Patrick Mahomes. Well, you make them sit at the bench, right? You know, and that means the opposing offense is chewing up grass and putting points at the end. And that's the other thing. Don't just chew up grass.
Yeah, you got to score.
You got to put points at the end of those drives.
And then you want the quarterback on the other sideline looking up and going, okay, I got – three more possessions here at this rate, and I get a score every time.
And I got to put the ball in the air. Now pass rush comes into play. Secondary, you know, they make a mistake. You rush him on a throw or his progression. So they all feed off of each other. But you're right. If you get a skill guy that can change that complexion, say he's a guy that can get you 5, 10. He's a third down guy that's always got stick-em on his hands, it feels like. You want to take that guy. And I think that's why the Steelers have been successful and why we haven't seen a losing season, because you have those guys – pop up in the most unlikeliest of times that gets you over the hump at the last minute.
Well, think about that 2010 draft. You take Emmanuel Sanders in the third round.
Yeah.
And then you come back in the sixth round and you take Antonio Brown, and they both contributed that season.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, not what they became, you know, but they, you know, AB, the first time he touches the ball, takes it for a touchdown against Tennessee.
That was crazy.
You know, Emmanuel was the slot receiver, and he was the first down guy. Think about the catch AB had in the playoffs against the Ravens.
The helmet catch.
Yeah, the helmet catch. Like, and then he went and got a chain charm that resembled it. Anyways, aside from the point.
But receiver, I mean, because, you know, you still have Mike Wallace there. You still had Hines Ward there. No, Hines was at the end. But, you know, you doubled down on the position there, and both of those guys could play.
Yeah, and then look at what their careers were on top of that. So it's like, you found that value in the third round? I mean, because Emmanuel went on and played for how much longer after that? He had his injury issues with us. That's why he couldn't stick. But I mean, he went on to become a phenomenal wide receiver that quarterbacks depended on. And AB had probably the greatest 4-year stretch of any wide receiver in NFL history.
Almost six. So yeah. Five for sure.
Oh, sorry, five. Sorry, yeah. Five. I apologize. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, and that was a sixth round. And they were both in the same draft class. It's like they saw something in both those guys to say, nope. Y'all, everybody else has passed up on them enough. We're going to take these guys.
Yeah. Jeremy Fowler is scheduled to join us in the next segment. I want to ask you real quickly before we take a break. You were mentioning Nick Chubb. We were talking about Nick Chubb. And then you mentioned Adrian Peterson. And part of in you know, the short shelf life for NFL running backs, when you think of Adrian Peterson and how long he lasted, and I want to point up with your old teammate, Jerome Bettis, for the pounding that guy took and to last that long. I mean, that in itself, of course, he's in the Hall of Fame. That in itself is Hall of Fame worthy. To do what he did to get his body prepared with the punishment he took is really incredible.
No, it's one of those things when you have those generational running backs that can defy age and defy wear and tear. It's a special thing. And when you look at certain guys, you know, Derrick Henry probably won't get to that point, but he'll be close. And you just wonder, what do these guys do? Because I remember Jerome. I remember if you saw Jerome on a Monday, after a game, it's like you're trying to reach for a walker, you know, or a cane or something, you know, to help him out. But by Sunday, He's ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, and to get his body ready for that is what he went through.
What he had to do to get himself ready. And because you have to remember, after 04, he wanted to retire. Like, we had to beg him to come back. He was like, I'm done. Like, I'm physically, and we're like, no, you got to come back. We need you for one more year. And to know what he was going through, the physical pain. And that's why, you know, we took it upon ourselves, like, what can we do to minimize this as much as possible? And obviously, you know, Deuce had a good share of the reps. That's when we started inserting Willie Parker more into the office. So we gave him a 3-man rotation, but when Jerome turned it on, that Chicago game, I'll never forget it. And everybody talks about the Urlacher hit.
Right.
I think about before that in the drive when we had 33 double to the left. Jerome hits the hole, cuts to the sideline, and is tight roping on the sidelines like a dancing bear. 300-pound dancing bear tight roping the sideline, and then dropped his shoulder and just laid the boom on, I think it was Briggs. And I was like, oh, my God, we need to do this, guys. but that determination, like, you don't see that in a lot of guys. I think, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, everybody's bigger, faster, stronger. No, it's up here as well as what you do here. And that's why James Harrison was such a big proponent of how you treat your body. And famously, for the amount of money he spent, well, I went to the same people that he went to. I'd have to be like, James, you got to get off the table. I need this too. You're not the only one. You can't have two masseuses working on you at the same time. Like, there's a room for it. Because we used to go to James Ferrier's house every Thursday, and that's where the masseuses came, and we had massage and acupuncture. And so it'd be like 20 guys at Posse's house every Thursday night waiting to get – because we knew – because Lisa – James had brought Lisa Rippey. He brought her from the Jets because that was a masseuse, because the Jets brought in masseuses every week, and Lisa worked on him. And so when he moved to Pittsburgh, he's like, hey, Lisa, I need you to come down here. I don't know any masseuses down here. And then guys are like, man, James, what are you doing? And then it just became a trend. And so everybody went there. So I started going there my rookie year. And, I mean, I worked with Lisa my entire career, even when I left.
Oh, really? No kidding.
So and then James, when James started finally starting, then he started coming. You know, it was about year three, year four, because James and I were actually on the team. He finally made a roster the same year as me. And then he just took over. We're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not the James Harrison show. Like, this, we've been coming here. Like, Lisa, tell him we've been here longer. It came a fight. But he spent the money. He flew Lisa everywhere year round.
Oh, so James Ferrier was the conduit to her.
Was the initial one. Yeah, he was the initial one. And then James Harrison took over.
I got you.
As James often does. Like, I'll pay you more money. And it's like, no, that's not going to work. We have a system here, James. But that's the important thing. And guys needed that, and it was a routine. Like, ritually, like, I knew Thursday night I was going to feel sore on Friday when I came for walkthrough day, and then Hokie would go crazy. It's like, Hokie, we have shells on. I know, brother. I'm just trying to get it done. Stop it, Hokie. You know all the plays. We get it. Why don't you just come on the offensive line? We got it. But you would feel, because you had acupuncture, so all the blood and everything was on the superficial layer of your skin. But by Sunday, you were ready to rock and roll, and that's what it took. And you had to be able to mentally go through that. You had to fall in love with the process. And that's what guys kind of lose now, I think, especially at the running back position. They think about the money and what they're not getting, and then you have them trying to form an alliance and all that other stuff. But it's falling in love with the process. And there's not a lot of guys, especially at that position, that fall in love with the process like those guys. I think Christian McCaffrey is now a guy that's falling in love with the process, and that's why you see the results that he has.
Jerry Dulac, Dale Lawley, and Max Starks. We are at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more right here on Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steeler Nation Radio.
When you want black and gold football talk, you want SNR, Steelers Nation Radio. This is continuing coverage of the 2024 NFL Combine, live from Indianapolis on Steelers Nation Radio.
And then it's 3:30. Back over.
Yeah, welcome back to the Indiana Convention Center. We're just gabbing away here, to, both on the air and off the air, having a good old time.
This
little trio will take you up until 2 o'clock, and then I will depart, and Max and Dale will stay on, and Matt Williamson will join them at 2 o'clock and go till 4 o'clock. Correct. The Max will bow out after three. Is that correct?
Yes. So las tres.
I kind of got your schedule right now. Yeah.
I appreciate
lots of moving parts.
And after that, what else you got?
I got to figure out a couple of interviews.
You got to do Ramon, right?
I got to get Ramon.
I saw Ramon walking in with a big bag of food earlier.
I
know if it was for him or for the 6-man crew.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like he shared his leftovers with him. It's kind of like me at Giordano's last night.
Max told me he left a couple olives on the plate for you guys
to snack on. I did my part. I had 4 pieces. It wasn't Max's 7, I believe.
Yeah, I did end up with 7. I was trying to stop at 6, but then Moats wouldn't chip in, so I had to finish it off.
Moats disappointed a little bit.
Yeah, he did. He did. He left half a slice on his plate.
That was his 4th slice, and he only did – no, it was his 3rd slice.
You outdid him.
He only ate the 3rd one because he was he started the 3rd one because I grabbed the 3rd one. He says, "Well, I got to keep up there."
And he couldn't.
He didn't.
No. But he wanted the meat-tacular pizza cuz he's like, "I'm a carnivore." I was like, "No, you need some veggies too."
Yeah, you got to have veggies.
And that green olive banana pepper pepperoni was nice call.
Is that what you had?
That's what you guys had. Yeah, we did that one and
What was it?
It was a green pepperoni? Olive, pepperoni, and banana peppers. It was good.
Were the peppers hot?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they get the zing to them.
Yeah, a little zing, like zestiness, and then, it was a crunch factor.
But not the St. Elmo's shrimp cocktail.
No, not absolutely that. Nowhere near that.
I'll tell you.
We would have had one slice, and everybody would run into the bathroom.
Oh, man. I had some the other night, no matter how many times I've had it, and I still take – I know to take the small bite, and wow.
It still gets you.
Brings tears to your eye. Jeremy Fowler is his national senior writer for ESPN. He joins us now on the broadcast. Jeremy, of course, covered the Steelers for a couple years ago.
What's up?
For ESPN, and he's back, and we're always glad to see you, my friend.
Absolutely. Great to see you guys.
Yeah, what's happening? They keeping you busy. I noticed you just kind of bebopping your way around to different stations.
I did. Yeah, you know how it is. You get your steps in here in Indianapolis.
You do that. There's no doubt about it.
So it's been good.
Yep.
Now, Jeremy, I just wonder, as you look at kind of like big picture, you look at the AFC North in general.
Yeah.
Obviously the Cincinnati Bengals take a step back. Okay. You pay Joe Burrow all that money.
Yeah.
Has the injury, can't finish the season. You look at Cleveland, they just go through a quarterback carousel, and we know what the Deshaun Watson contract is. Lamar Jackson gets paid, and he wins an MVP. Pittsburgh. We're the one with the quarterback question. Just as you assess kind of the AFC North, kind of where the Steelers are with Kenny Pickett, new OC, Mason Rudolph potentially the guy that they're targeting to bring back to complement him. I mean, how do you assess the state of our division?
So, the division is still probably the best. And like you talk about the quarterbacks that are around the Steelers and what they have to address and all the avenues they could go. I mean, Deshaun's still a question mark, I think, after the way he's played the last few years, and they need to get the return on investment there in a big way. But Pittsburgh, you could argue, as far as the overall roster is right there with those teams, maybe if not better in a lot of areas. So the quarterback question is, to me, is one bad year from Kenny Pickett enough to cut the cord, you know? And if the answer to Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan is no, then I expect him to be – mixing up a training camp, at least having a good shot to win the job.
Yeah. So, the quarterback is the marquee position, not only in the NFL, probably in professional sports. A lot of intrigue nationally involving Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins. What are you hearing? What do you think is going to happen? What's your take on it all?
Well,
everybody gets linked to the Steelers at some point.
I know. No question. I think all three of those guys.
Oh, without question,
Well, but everybody's waiting on Chicago because they're the driver's seat here. When are they going to trade Justin Fields, assuming they're taking the quarterback at one, which I think most people I talk to, most teams I talk to expect that at this point.
We're hearing some of the, whispers, gossip about them trading Fields and then even trading the pick and moving down. I don't know how legitimate it is, but you hear the whispers.
That'd be aggressive.
Yeah.
So if I think they'll stay put and take the USC kid. So if you do that, then they probably want to trade Fields in the next week or two to do him a solid, do it before the new league year. get him in a new home. And then the rest of the dominoes will fall into place after that. Then you got Russell Wilson, who I think Denver will cut the cord, rip the bandit off in maybe the next 1 to 2 weeks around March 13th, and you can structure it that way where he's ready to go. I mean, this is a guy that can go sign somewhere for $1 million on the minimum and give Denver the rest of the bill. He can legitimately do that. He's in a rare position of power. That's why I think teams are going to think long and hard about Russell Wilson. If you still think he's a back-end starter out of 32, I think most scouts I talk to still see him as a starter you can win some games with. Maybe not high-end, but, you know, on the back end of the top 32.
Does he have control over where he could be traded or no? Do you know?
No. I believe he has a no-trade clause. But
so they'd have to waive that, obviously.
But there's no way they can trade him with the money involved. No team's going
to
pay
that. I don't see any team wanting to take that on.
Yeah, $39 million guaranteed.
Yeah, so
you know they got
to
cut him.
So then wherever he's going to go, my next question would be, does he still believe he's a starter? Does he still want to be a starter?
Oh, no question.
Yeah, right. He doesn't want to go somewhere where he's going to be number two.
Right.
Right.
So that's it. Yeah, if Pittsburgh still has Pickett in line in any way,
he doesn't want to come
here.
He's
not going to come. Yes, no. Right. And Fields probably the same thing. So
I agree.
They have to make a firm decision, you know. Wilson, at least he doesn't turn the ball over. He can still do some things. I think it's a decent fit in Pittsburgh, but I don't know that they would go that route.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, the question we're all continually asked here. You mentioned the roster as a whole being pretty solid. Where do you think they go in the draft?
So they are – sorry, I'm drawing a blank.
They're 20.
They're 20, okay.
They're 20.
So – probably still be some good defensive front seven guys there. You can't go wrong with the offensive line. I think probably get a big boy there in one of those spots. Defensive offensive line would be that'd be my first thought, I guess. You know, maybe get somebody inside. It looks like they have some free agents there, some different parts. We got Cam Hayward's 35
next month. Yeah,
yeah,
2 months.
You know, Byron Murphy's a name that comes to mind if he's still there. I don't know that he would be, but there's enough talent. Or they could do some damage in the front defensive seven.
You know,
get a fun linebacker too. I mean, they kind of patched that all together last year with some
every year they do it.
I mean,
it's a revolving door.
Yeah. Right. Well, they had guys that can play but didn't make big money because they were injured, and then they got injured again.
And
so
they got hurt.
It was predictable. Yeah. So maybe try to solidify that. A little.
They've been trying to find Ryan Shazier since his unfortunate injury. Yeah. You know, they thought they had that guy with Devin Bush moved up 10 spots to number 10 to take him, and that blew up in their face. And it's just been between, I can't even remember all the guys, between Mark Barron and John Bostic and the kid from Jacksonville, Schobert, and from Cleveland.
Wow.
It's every year.
Yeah.
And now it's Holcomb. It's Landon Roberts, and it's Quan Alexander.
And Miles Jack came
Miles
back.
Miles Jack, right. It's just spin the wheel and see where it stops. You mentioned Russell Wilson. You thought it would be a good fit. Could be a good fit. Before he went to Denver, I thought he was a perfect fit for the Steelers after Ben. And I'll tell you, I had that discussion. Who agreed? I had that discussion with Bill Cowher. And I thought he would have been a perfect fit at that point in his career where the Steelers were. Bring him in. You know, I don't see it happening now, but 2 years ago I did.
It's intriguing because he doesn't turn the ball over, which Mike Tomlin's big on, and he can throw a pretty good deep ball still. So you got Pickens and those guys. Like, you could throw it up. At least give him a chance.
You know, as of going back probably 2 years, Tom Brady, I don't care who was there. I always said if there was a last-minute game-winning drive and you had a minute and a half or a minute, I might take Russell Wilson over any quarterback in the league. He was magical
for a while. He had a run. No question.
So what is the we're hearing some different rule change stuff talk around this combine. Kickoff is obviously something that's been talked about. Do you see anything coming of that when we get to the owners' meetings in another
month? For sure. I just don't know what their plan's going to be for the kickoff. They talked about the XFL style.
Yeah. Do you like that idea?
Not bad.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Not bad. I mean, they'll have a few different proposals, I'm sure, on that. I wouldn't be surprised if it's changed. I mean, they had basically expected it to be a one-year experiment. It didn't go well. No kickoff had any sort of suspense or drama.
No.
It was brutal. So they're gonna address that. It's that, and then it's the hip drop tackles, the big
right,
one.
Right, right.
They're pretty adamant that league officials have been out in front saying that the numbers, you know, dramatically increase injury with that style of tackle. I don't know how you police that in the moment.
Yeah.
I know. I agree.
You're trying to get a guy on the ground. You're just going to get him on the ground. I mean, That's
and that's the whole point of the game is so like trying to figure out where your impact point is at the moment and having guys second guess on it, you know, at that moment. Well, was my head across the bow? Was it not? Did I get the guy? Okay, yeah, did my weight get on him too much? It's like, this is football at the end of the day. I mean, if you want that, add more padding. Stop letting guys not wear enough padding, right? Put the knee pads back in. Put the hip pads back in if that's the case. But you don't. Guys wear those thin little shells, nothing on their knees at all, nothing on their hips. I remember when I played, we had to have the butt pad. Remember the tailbone pad?
Yeah.
The one that would fly out randomly because your belt wasn't tight enough.
What was that?
I mean, if you think back.
Was that for linemen or was that everybody?
That was everybody. Everybody had, and the referee would come by and tap your hip to check to make sure you had a pad in.
Why did they take it out? Because too cumbersome or what?
Yeah, it was too cumbersome, and people were complaining about it, and guys were putting like knee pads in their set because they didn't want to wear the hip pads. So they're like, well, this is becoming just too much of an additional layer for the referees at the check. Yeah. So let's just get rid of them and not make them mandatory.
Part of the classic look for the Steelers is Franco Harris with the pads coming out on
right
the side.
Yeah, stick out the side of the jersey. Yeah, because I was like, it protects your entire hip.
You know, Jeremy,
yeah,
with
guys want to be fast now. So yeah,
with the kickoff rule, it's funny because you know they wanted to limit put the constraints on the kickoff because of injuries, but they never wanted to take the rule out. I mean, the kickoff out of the game because they feel it's the most exciting play in football. And that's where they are now. It's been negated, and so now they want to kind of bring it back a little bit. I don't want to say injuries be damned. That's not it. But they just want to make sure they put some excitement back in that play.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah.
And even the punt return, I don't feel like that's as exciting as it used to be. Rarely do you see punt returns. Maybe it's just because special teams is better. But, yeah, they got to address a lot of that.
So the idea is it the XFL, it's right, you kick from the 35, right? The 35, and they line up at the 30, right?
Yeah.
What happens to onside kicks?
That's a good question.
I've even heard the theory that they would do the what's the league that does like the 4th and 15?
Oh yeah, play? That proposal. Yeah. I kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't want to be gimmicky.
Gimmicky, yeah.
Right. That's USFL. UFL had that.
Yep.
So many.
Yeah, the NFL, the owners don't want to be gimmicky. That's why they shoot it down.
It's better to be that than just to have no drama in the playoff.
Well, I agree.
Yeah, you lose an important. A mandatory play in the game, and you don't want that low because they want butts and seats, right? They want people in front of the screens instead of running to go.
Yeah,
to
let's kick off. I'm gonna go. There. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, I got at least another 3 minutes, right? After the TV timeout and then this kickoff, I'm good. So, I mean, something has to be done.
Yeah, puts a decision element even more so back in the game with that one.
No
4th and 15. Do you want to take that or what you want to do? Got to take a break. Thanks for joining us, brother.
Of course, guys.
Yeah,
thank you.
Jeremy Fowler. He's the senior writer for ESPN. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more from the Indiana Convention Center. It's the site of the NFL Combine 2024. You're listening to Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steeler Nation Radio.
Live from the 2024 NFL Combine, this is Steelers Nation Radio.
Well, as an off-the-ball linebacker, it's you know, I'll use the word priority. I'm not going to say it's top priority, but it is a priority. They, you know, I touched on this earlier. They're a little weary of the revolving door year after year after year, and they want the revolving door to stop. We've seen them go, obviously, just about free agency every year trying to plug that hole, and I really believe that it's going to be a priority no later than day two of this draft. And when you look at the guys, off the ball guys, who do you like? Who do you think is a good fit? A guy I've been looking, researching a little. He was up today. Edrin Cooper is extremely intriguing. Where I mentioned to you earlier, Max, off the air. Just curious your thoughts about him and just about the position in general and what a necessity it is for the Steelers, because let's face it, there's a big question mark about Cole Holcomb's availability, certainly in time for the regular season.
Yeah, I like Edrin Cooper. I think he's a kid. He's sideline to sideline. I mean, he hits all of the feels that you want for an off-the-ball linebacker. You know, he has the speed. He has the ability to blitz. And that's a big part of what, when you're looking at the Steelers, what can you do? Can you cover sideline to sideline? And now, can you carry tight ends? especially with the way the rules have changed for them, can't touch them at the five. Now you got to be foot speed with them and be able to redirect at four. He's a guy that can keep up, because that was one of our major issues. Remember that when Cole Holcomb went out, you couldn't stop a tight end.
Couldn't stop the tight end.
Right. Couldn't stop the tight ends, and they just ruled the middle of the field, and that's where a linebacker really has a necessity outside of being the run plugger.
This just isn't a great year. This linebacker class is not great at all. No. There's some intriguing guys like a Steel Chambers out of Ohio State. I think he's going to blow this thing up.
Yeah, he'll test out the waters.
He's going to test like crazy. The higher end guys, you mentioned Cooper, Junior Colson out of Michigan. You just wonder if they feel like maybe they got burned by Michigan linebacker the last time.
Yes,
you wonder about that.
The Devin Bush effect.
Yeah, but again, a team captain of what was a great defense last year at Michigan. Jeremiah Trotter's another guy that, obviously the NFL bloodlines, more of the thumper type, though. He's not I think you want that guy that can run with tight ends and do those kind of things. Peyton Wilson's got everything that you want, but has had multiple injuries over the course of his high school and college career. So you wonder about that. And it's just, it's interesting. I talked to Cedric Gray today. I was over there when he was talking. Out of North Carolina. He's actually got Troy Polamalu tattooed on his forearm.
Oh, really?
That was his favorite player.
What? Name, number, what?
Face.
Oh, really? The hair. The hair.
He has the hair. Fitted.
Because he's his favorite
forearm,
player.
Forearm, wrist, and hand
it's all the way down.
That was his favorite player. So that's another guy that, but that it's just not a very deep area. Right. It's not a deep class this year.
And free agency is not that deep either. No. I mean, you have the headliner of Patrick Queen, but we know that's going to be out the water.
Like Drew Tranquil from the Chiefs.
Drew is one, but I think the Chiefs are going to try and keep him because they release.
Don't they have any money?
They release Valdez Scantling to get $12 million freed up.
But they were over the cap, and they get it. They put the franchise tag on the cornerback.
Yeah, L'Jarius Sneed.
L'Jarius Sneed, and they got to still try to sign Chris Jones.
Yeah,
That gets expensive. You're talking $40 million or $50 million between those two guys right there. And Willie Gay for them is also another one
that's up as well.
He's another guy that would be intriguing. Still a younger player, ascending player that has some
value. And
yeah.
then you got Jordan Brooks that's out there. That'll be a free agent. And then Aziz Alshire.
Oh, I like him too. Yeah,
I like him. He went because he went to Tennessee on a prove it deal.
Yeah,
thought he did okay. I think he might be one you could target. And he's young enough because I remember Aziz when he was at FAU.
Yeah.
Because he was a part of that squad that had Devin Singletary, Harrison Bryant, and all of them on that team. Yeah. So, I mean, he was one that really stood out. So I would like to see him in the mix as far as a conversation. But, that's really all the guys you're talking about in free agency. So the draft is a place, and everybody needs linebackers. Unless you're the San Francisco 49ers.
Or if you're the Eagles and you just ignore it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Eagles like, maybe next year. but I think that's what you come to. So how does a Chris Chambers now skyrocket his popularity? How does Edgerrin Cooper skyrocket popularity? Because, you're not going to pay $20 million for – or probably $15 to $17 million for a Patrick Queen type. You know, Jordan Brooks oft reliable, but Aziz Alshire – there's a value there. So I think his market might be a lot greater, and knowing our need might push the value up.
Yeah, now you're getting into a bidding war for a guy that's a good player.
Good, solid player.
Maybe not a great player.
He's not spectacular.
You don't want to pay a good player, great player money.
Yes, exactly. Because you still need to find the value in that. And like you said, with so many other things to look at, you don't want to tie it up in just one position in free agency.
And will the Ravens even be able to bring back Patrick Queen?
No,
that's what I mean. It's too hard
because you're going to do Matabike's contract,
And they're paying Roquan.
Right, they're paying Roquan, and they have to eventually deal with Lamar's deal too.
Yeah,
so
he's a goner. Yeah.
I would expect. I mean, I'd be shocked if Patrick Queen isn't a Seahawk.
Ooh, yeah.
The defensive coordinator's there. Like, hey, just come on over here. We'll run the same defense,
and you can be Roquan.
You can be Roquan.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you earlier. You mentioned him. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. We were talking about the cornerbacks, and we talked about Joey Porter Jr. trying to match up with what the Bengals do. Corey Trice is a guy whose whole season wiped out almost from the first day of training camp. A big guy, 6'3", 210. I mean, has those measurables and can run, but he lasted.
Yeah,
late, and so there are some questions about him They think they like what they got, but they don't know what they got.
Yeah, it's like that mystery bag, right? You know, that you click on. Or I go on Woot, and you do these little things. Like $5 bag of crap. You know, you just pick it. Might be a gem, might not be. That's what you have with Corey Trice, right? Because he looks exactly what you need. He tests exactly what you want, but injuries. Injuries have been the issue, and that's what pushed him down.
Right.
And now you get it right in training camp when we're thinking, man, we got the Twin Towers on the edges, and then you lose him, and now Patrick Peterson is starting corner.
Well, and they still have Rush, too, that they, you know, Darius Rush is there, who was a fifth-round pick last year as well. So, they got some young guys.
So they got some young guys there. I think you still need to add another one in the mix because, you know, every team, if you got two, you know, Terrell Austin said this.
You got
famously,
two, you need three.
Exactly.
You got three, you need four.
Yeah, exactly. So Terrell Austin's always about how many DBs can we get on this roster to be competitive. But I think you have to look and see some of these guys. And there's a lot of quarterbacks out there. And I call it build a cornerback because whatever you need, this draft has that guy. I want a speed guy. I want a tall guy. I want a rangy guy. I want a cover guy. You know, I want a zone guy. I want a guy that's nickel flexible. You can find all these guys in the draft. And, you know, one of the guys I really like, Andrew Phillip from Kentucky.
Yeah.
I like that kid a lot. I had him a couple times last year. And he's a guy, he is physical.
Yeah,
he's physical. He's not the one that's going to get you the wrap down immediately, but he's going to wrap you up and be on you like spider monkey. And I mean, he's going to tangle you up on the edges, especially when you're talking about running backs on the outside zone stuff. He's a guy that's not afraid. So I really like him. It's going to be interesting to see how he tests and where he ends up landing.
Well, during one answer, you brought up a spider monkey and Build-A-Bear at the same time.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of your analysis. That's why we love you.
It's far-ranging.
Yes, it is. And very enlightening.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for me, Dale. And Max will be back in the next hour with Matt Williamson. So I will see you guys tomorrow, and we'll have more fun then.
There we go.
Sounds good. Right.
You're listening to the NFL Draft Combine coverage from the Indiana Convention Center. We got a whole lot more coming your way, so don't you dare go away. Right here on Fox Sports Radio and Steeler Nation Radio.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.